Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Experience summer comfort for less. Explore our sale on curtains and bedding. Perfect time to update and freshen your home.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you are very welcome to Liveline. Anya, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Jackie Bourne, good afternoon.
How are you?
Bridget, good afternoon. Donna, what's your situation? Granya, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you, Joe? Thanks very much for having me on.
Yeah, okay.
I have two children with cystic fibrosis who have been denied a life-changing drug along with just 33 other children.
Yeah, we go straight to a relative of one of the 48 people who died in the Stardust disaster. When he arrived in Willow Park, did they know this man's history?
Now, I sang at funerals for 40 years, Joe, and I never heard anybody giving a eulogy and using bad language.
Well, have you heard a eulogy that went on for an hour? That's incredible, yeah. Isn't it, Daryl? Now, are you going to hold on to it, Martin? Will you cycle in with it, Martin?
Well, I'm a cyclist myself, so this should be
for an on your voice. Your coat is gone, your headphones are gone,
yeah.
It's raining,
yeah.
You're crying, understandably. You've great spirit. I never beep a cyclist under any circumstances. If it was Elvis himself on a bike, I wouldn't beep. Some of the scenes in Normal People.
Well, I think that they're focusing a lot on the sex part, when I think what we should be looking at is how well they actually portrayed the consent within the programme.
I have loads of Fibre Friday offers.
I won't, you know I don't pry. Was it a first date? Yeah. How did that go?
Don't cry for me, Borna Breena. The truth is, I never left you. Here we are, Studio One. Here we are, what's this? The hullabaloo. The hullabaloo. The hullabaloo. You're all very, very, you're all very, very welcome. The band are back together. This is my final Liveline, but remember, Liveline goes on Monday with PBH. Philip Boucher Hayes is there on Monday. The Camembert Quartet are back together again at very little expense, thankfully.
Very.
And they're going to open the show. Paddy, Doc, go.
Paddy Cullivan here, Joe.
Yeah.
You gave me my big break. One funny Friday a month with my musical takes from Like a Second Home to We Are Where We Are. We travelled the country. We propped up some bars.
Yes.
With the Camembert Quartet, we played each Christmas Eve, mixed with the people of Dublin and got flu for 2 weeks. But for the people of Ireland, you've been a beacon, a light. You've listened to Genius and some awful old stuff. It's a new beginning, Joe. This is not the end. So from the Camembert Quartet, myself, Clint Valour, from the people of Ireland, Joe, from everyone here, thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant. You listen to us complain, laughed and cried with us all the way. Well, now your hat is on, won't you stand up and take a bow?
Thank you for being a friend.
quartet. I was not allowed in the studio until about 2 minutes before, so there's lots of faces in the audience I haven't seen in a long time. I recognise a number of them from Crime Call, and then there's another group I recognise. If you just put a black strip over your eyes, I'll get the Sunday World Photograph connection. You're all, where's Brenda? Where's Brenda Donoghue? Brenda.
Straight in front of you, Joe. Straight in front of you.
I can relax.
Yeah, now listen, thank you for being a friend. You've been more than a friend to some people who've called Liveline, because you have changed lives, and I'd love to demonstrate that today. And who travelled up from Tullow is Caroline Davis. Ah. Now, Caroline, you called the show, and we were talking about the breast care allowance. So fill us in as quick as you can.
I will indeed. We came there today, Joe, Alison and myself came up. We wanted to say a huge thank you for what you had done for the breast care, to restore the breast care allowance in Ireland for breast cancer patients. And what had happened is we had called the line when the allowance was going to be cut. And it was going to be cut that they were only going to have one bra and one prosthesis every 2 years. So within being on the show, we got the allowance reversed back to the way it was to be. But to let you know, Joe, we're really delighted to say that this year the allowance has changed. It has been drastically increased.
Great.
And people are now getting two bras every year. They're getting a prosthesis, they're getting a swimsuit and a swimming prosthesis if required. And it's not just, it's throughout the whole of Ireland. Every county is now going to be the same. And also it's people that didn't have a medical card, they're also entitled to it now. So everybody is getting the same, and it's all down thanks to what you did for us that time. And we're so very grateful. Alison and I are delighted to be here. And from all the breast cancer ladies in Ireland, a huge thank you.
Gosh.
Fair play. Thank you, Caroline. Joe.
Your voice, Caroline, your voice.
Thank you, Caroline. One of your closest friends, Joe.
Yes.
We couldn't let the day pass. Bruce Shields, you're delighted to be here. I know that.
Well, I'm delighted to listen to what the ladies were just saying there, because that is the real Joe Duffy, looking after the ordinary people in Ireland who could get nothing done. He is a voice for the voiceless, and he's one of the best pals anybody could have, Brenda, really.
In what way, Bruce?
The way is, you hear Joe on the show.
Well, lending him money, primarily.
Well, as the guy says, myself and Joe go back a long way. He hasn't changed at all.
Sure.
A little bit physically. But mentally, he's still beautiful. Spiritually, there's no one like him. He can be generous, gregarious, gloriously full of good grace, or a gift of the gab, gill, or gavitas, and just, he'd never genuflect in the gentry or try and second-guess the growth of growing into well-grounded garner. He's a genuine genius, a genial coucher who has no gripe of grieving, rather grooving and grubble. And the goals who glow carries gold. He's a global gladiator, groomed, gleaming, and glistening. He's beautiful. I love him, and he knows it.
What about that? Brush Shields, everybody. Thank you, Brush.
Without a breath.
And just very quickly, Joe, I know one of the favourite shows that you do on Christmas week are the self-published books.
Oh,
and
yeah,
there are so many authors who are so grateful to you for pushing that so strongly. Yeah. And one of them travelled all the way up from Cork, Peter O'Toole. Tell us, first of all, what kind of books did you write? How many times have you been on with Joe?
I've been on with Joe six times, years in a row, and I suppose, you know, Joe shared our passion in the topics and the books, and especially he loved the murders, and every year he convinced me that he was up reading the books the night before, because he knew far more about some of the topics than I did.
They're brilliant books, and your research was astonishing.
But that's just exactly what he did. He gave every self-publisher that was on the show confidence, going away thinking they'd done something brilliant.
And come here, did you sell more books, more importantly?
Oh, you sold more books, but even bigger than that, you got a bit of vindication from, you know, like Joe, which you felt like, for me, it felt like I went out and wrote another book then, you know, and then got back on the show again the next year.
Well, look, Peter, thanks for coming all the way up from Cork.
And
thank
Peter,
you so
fair
much.
Play. I see that big Aldi bag, a little bag beside you there. There's a book for everyone in the audience.
And come here. Joe.
What?
Before I hand back to you, we have a caller on the line.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, caller.
Joe, how are you? Mihal here.
Taoiseach.
And I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank you sincerely you were and are the voice of the people. You were authentic.
Yeah.
You gave the people a platform. Yeah. And I think you never left your roots. Your working class background stood to you. Yeah. The values that your parents and family gave to you, I think, were the reason why you were unique. You had a unique capacity to mediate between the people and authority and allow them to tell their stories. And on a personal level, we've known you, going back to my student days,
yeah,
where you taught me a few things when I was a student activist.
Now you forgot them quick enough now.
I have fond memories of the guy from Ballyfermot coming down to UCC Students' Union,
yeah,
telling us how to do things.
Yeah.
But I learned a lot from you. And later on in life, in West Cork and elsewhere, our paths crossed.
Yeah.
And what people, I think people do know, but your personal acts of kindness have always been, you know, quite extraordinary and something that has touched our family quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say that to you.
And I appreciate
that. Because I think it's your kindness and your compassion rings through on the radio, but also in personal life. That's the kind of person you are.
You know, I had the pleasure of meeting Leanne and when we were doing the crab fishing competitions down there.
Yeah, well,
people don't, I mentioned it the other day, Taoiseach, about you. We were talking to someone who rescued someone in Dunrawley Beach, which you know when you swim there. And I remember the last time I was swimming in Dunrawley, you swam around me. Because you're a fine swimmer, a lovely body too. You swam around me about 7 times, and I realised it was you when I heard the music from Jaws in the background, circling me. But anyway, you're still swimming. You still go to Cork Mac, and
I still above go to Cork Mac and Dunwarley. And what people may not realise, what you just said there, I mean, one of the last great days we had with Lena was at the crab fishing competition at Cork Mac Ferry. And unknown to me, you took some beautiful photographs of Lena in my arms, looking out the pier there, and you sent them on to me afterwards, after Lena passed. And that's something Mary and I have always treasured, and we thank you. That's what I meant by your personal kindnesses.
Yeah, well, that's really appreciated.
And just to June and to the three kids, June, Ellen, Sean and Ronan.
Okay.
Give them my best.
And most importantly, Taoiseach, in the world we now live in, Godspeed. And God, your wisdom and of the all our politicians, our wisdom hopefully will continue to guide us through these very, very difficult times. So I wish you and your colleagues and your family good health and Godspeed in this very, very difficult world that we live in at the moment. Go to Mila Martin.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. Thank you indeed. And just to say, Joe, you kept us all on our toes over the years. And I can remember many a civil servant coming running into me in the afternoon saying, Liveline's gone mad, it's after going on fire. We've got to do this, that, or the other, you know.
Yeah,
but the one difference between you and social media, if I may say, you had balance on every show. Somebody else got to give the other side of the story, or at least you gave them the opportunity.
Yeah.
Look, you were just a wonderful platform for people, survivors of institutions, people who may not often get the opportunity, who didn't have PR people or anything like that. They just picked up the phone, they rang you, and you guided them through to tell their story. And people will be forever in your debt.
As I am. To them.
Okay.
Go to Mina Margaret Ahisha.
Take care.
Who's that after coming in? Oliver Bond. Where's Oliver Bond? 3, 4.
The name's Bond. Oliver Bond. Tough guy. I come from a dysfunctional family. I was raised by my dad. He wasn't a violent man. In all my childhood, he only ever hit me once. But that was with a Ford Cortina. My sister was caught shoplifting in a sweet shop. She got away with it, though. She had a couple of Twix up her sleeve. That reminds me of me Auntie Margaret. We went to B&Q one day and she got a ladder in her tights. Now that's what I call shoplifting. Me brother used to steal cars from multi-story car parks. That was wrong on so many levels. As for me, I've always been a big softie. Why, only the other day I picked up a hitchhiker. I felt I had to. I just run him over. But we were poor. One day, I saw me ma counting out the copper coins on the kitchen table when she started shouting and crying for no reason. I thought to myself, she's going through the change. I left home when I was 16. Me ma said, don't forget to write. I thought, that's unlikely. It's a basic skill, isn't it? Anyway, I started going out at night looking for good-looking moths. I prefer butterflies, but I couldn't get off work during the day. I went to a hop one night. I had to. I'd lost one of my shoes. I met this girl and we started going out. She went out on a Tuesday and I went out on a Thursday. And boy, was she a good kisser. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she could use her lips, I could tell you. She used to be a glass blower down in Waterford Crystal. Before I knew it, we were married and the kids started to arrive, which is a bit strange because I don't remember ordering any. She was a big fan of Australian television programmes, so she named the kids Danny, Kylie, Jason and Skippy. But she started to let herself go, so I bought her one of them beauty mud packs. And to be fair, she looked good for a couple of days. Then the mud fell off. Oliver, she says, bring me somewhere I've never been before. So I took her into the kitchen. She said she wanted some new appliances, something electric. So I bought her a chair. She wasn't happy. I thought you loved me, Oliver, she said. Listen, love, I used to be a professional tennis player, so love means nothing to me. She said, why don't you go out and get something that'll make me look sexy? So I went out and got drunk. Eventually, we drifted apart. I'm glad I've got those waterbeds in the end. Anyway, I left her and I started up a new job. I've set up my own company, Private Eye. Last week, I was doing a stakeout in the local cemetery. I know, funny place for a barbecue. I saw these grave diggers running around carrying a coffin and shouting at each other. They'd obviously lost the plot. Outside, there was one of those yellow AA vans. The driver looked miserable and was sobbing. The poor guy was heading for a breakdown. As you know, I've worked all over the world. I usually fly my own helicopter, but I haven't had my chopper out in months. I was in Australia once and saw this fella playing Dancing Queen on his didgeridoo. I thought, that's Aboriginal. Anyway, I gotta go now. I've got a new recruit to train in. He's packing up his job today and starting with me on Monday at 1:45. I'll start him answering the phone first. And who knows, if he's any good, he could become the next new Bond. Double Joe 715-815. The Private Eye line is open now. Good luck.
You're the wonderful. That was a wonderful June Rogers. You're listening to Live Line. We'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Welcome back here to Studio One in the Radio Centre here in the RT campus in Dublin for Paddy.
Joe, you know something? Everybody knows how much you love our fire services in Ireland.
Here, here.
So we have a really special treat for you right now. Ladies and fire gentlemen, engine. Please welcome the Dublin Fire Brigade Pipe Band.
Who rang them? Mother of God.
Thank you.
brilliant. John. Dublin Fire Brigade pipe band. You know the way, John, go over to a microphone there, John. John, there he has a microphone. You know the way when Gay retired from the Lately and Larry and Bond came in and gave him a Harley Davidson, right? Now, I wasn't. I thought I'd get an old hula hoop or something. And as my dad used to say, when he'd send me down to shops in Ballia for 10 players. And I said, Dad, that's a 15 minute walk. He says, take your hula hoop, you'll be quicker. Anyway, I was hoping, and I was on to Dennis, the chief fire officer, and Greg, his deputy, and all the lads, Richie, all the gang, and all there. And I said, is there any chance you would let me buy a second hand fire engine now that I've retired, and I'll answer the false alarms for you? I really would. Well done, John. How are you?
Good, Joe. Yeah.
You're brilliant. Look, we
were delighted to be asked by Siobhan, your production team, to come today. And yeah. We're delighted to be here to pay tribute to you over your years here in RTE. And your dedication and your admiration of the emergency services, including Dublin Fire Brigade. So it's our 40th anniversary year this year, 40 years in existence. So I have a little presentation for you, Joe. I have a T-shirt, a patch that we wear on our uniform.
Oh, beautiful.
And a challenge coin.
So. And I'd be proud to wear that. Proud to wear that. Can I answer the false alarms? Please.
You'll have to ask the chief.
I think of all the retained firefighters around the country. And remember, as I said the other day, our first responders, no matter where they are, and be they hospitals, be it our brilliant Gardaí, our brilliant fire services all over the country, our medics, when we're having our worst day, you have to be having your best day. You have to be on the ball, quick, good-humoured, invariably knowledgeable, most of the FB now are qualified paramedics. So when you're having us as members of the community having a worst day, we depend on people like you, the men and women all over the country, to have your best day. And that's really, really, really appreciated. By the way, I've seldom seen a group of handsome men together in one place since I burst into Pat Kenny's dressing room in the Radio Centre about 3 years ago. You're all very welcome, but it's an absolute pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure, and safe travelling, and well done to all our first responders all over Ireland.
Thanks, Joe, I'm very worried about you.
Why?
I think you're losing the run of yourself.
Why?
It's all going to your head.
Why?
I need to take you back down to earth.
Okay.
We have a special Callum's Kicks.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay, good afternoon to you. 515, wash your hands. I can see you hear me scream. Wonderful, wonderful tributes coming in from friends and Joe foes. Michael O'Leary, go ahead.
Yeah, well, this is the happiest day of my life.
Don't say that, Michael.
Finally, you and all the whingers are going back to where you came from, which I think is crusty Clontarf.
Be nice now, be nice.
Well, you wouldn't have me on if I was, because you love it. Joe Scruffy filling the airwaves from Pravda and Montrose with your lefty liberal bias, pandering to all those layabout iceberg shaggers trying to destroy Ryanair.
I miss you too, you Mullingar minger.
Yeah.
Who's on line four? Go ahead.
It's a very sad day, Katie.
No, it's Joe still here, but Bertie, go on.
Stop all the clocks. Cut off the telephones.
Yeah. I'm not dead, I'm not.
I just want to say my thoughts and stares are with his family. We'll never see his bike again, and may he rest in bits.
Anyway, we're moving on from that. Who's on line five? David McSavage. No, thank you very much. I'd rather be sung out by the Wolf Tones than go through McSavaging again.
Arise, Sir Joe.
Bono, good afternoon to you.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, but I'm from Ballyar, more Nightlink than Knighthood.
Ireland, my Ireland will miss you, Joe.
Oh, God.
I always felt the best bit was when you got the menopause on air.
Well, I didn't get the menopause.
Dad'll put him in his box, says I. His box, says Dolly.
Mrs. Brown, we can't have that language on the line because my screen says a man of the cloth is on the line. How are you, Father?
Get away from me, Joe Duffy. You're a stinging bee. Get paid off the state.
It's the monk. I thought it was Father Brian.
Away from me, Joe Duffy. The people are looking for change.
What sort of change, Jerry?
Change.
What change?
Wherever they want.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to do a change.
Uh-huh.
Except in me taxi there, I don't have the change of a 50, so... sorry, no change.
Okay, the voice in my ear says we have to wrap this up now. Come on.
Katie Hannon, me likeliest successor according to all the reports. You want any advice from Joe, Katie?
Yeah, which bin do I throw all your paintings in next week? The green one or the black one? Or should I just burn them out the back with the set from up front?
Listen, it's been a pleasure to be on the live line.
Okay, I'll be renaming it the Hannon Hang-Up.
Just want to say bye-bye to everyone. 555. I'll be washing my hands of it all. And
can I just say...
Go on,
yeah. Ooh, up the Joe. I say, up the Joe.
They're all at it now.
Up the Joe.
Yeah! Bye-bye-bye-bye-bye-bye-bye-bye-bye-bye-bye-bye-bye.
That's what I love about Oliver Callan. He does Bertie brilliantly. He does Katie brilliantly. He does Michael O'Leary. But he still hasn't got the hang of me, has he? I don't recognise him. Where's Paul Harrington, the wonderful
I'm
Paul
behind
Harrington?
You, Joe, behind you. Behind you all the way.
Well, there you are. There you are.
Nice to see you.
Likewise.
I have a little tune for you. I was told that you're fond of a little Leonard Cohen tune, so I tried to pick something that that fitted both him, Leonard, you and me. So it's a song called Song of Bernadette. There was a child named Bernadette. I heard the story long ago. She saw the Queen of Heaven once and kept the vision in her soul. No one believed what she had seen. No one believed what she had heard. But there were sorrows to be here and mercy, mercy in this world. And so many hearts I find broke like yours and mine, torn by what we've done and can't undo. I just want to hold. Come on, let me hold you like Bernadette would do. We've been around, we fall, we fly. We mostly fall and we mostly run. And every now and then we try to mend the damage that we've done. Tonight I just can't rest. I've got this joy inside my breast to think that I did not forget the child, the song of Bernadette. So many hearts I find broke like yours and mine, torn by what we've done and can't undo. I just want to hold you. Come on, let me hold you like Bernadette would do. Come on, let me hold you like Bernadette would do.
Beautiful. And one of the reasons, I don't know who suggested that song to you, Paul, but they know me, whoever did, because one of the reasons is I went to Lourdes on a number of occasions when I was doing work with the Catholic Youth Council, and I was genuinely struck when you go to places like Lourdes and Knock, regardless of your own beliefs,
the spirituality and the sense of community among other people. And it's something that's been drummed into us here in RTE as we come to celebrate the centenary of Irish radio in a few months. And was gay, was very gay. We was in Juno on the Paycock, Bessie Burgess said, there's always a row and the mention of religion. But that's not the way we treated it. And gay and RTE, and it's an ethos in the place, and I hope people appreciate it. We respect everyone's religion, and we never, ever, ever, ever would be allowed sneer or jeer at anyone's religious beliefs. And that's the time that struck me in places like Lourdes, the sanctity, the sense of community, the sense of warmth and the sense of embrace. So thank you for that beautiful, beautiful song. And a special hello to all my friends. One of the first places Gayborn ever sent me was to the Poor Clares enclosed convent in Ennis, and Sister Bernadine and all the all your sorority are there today listening, I hope, and I'm very, 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 very fond of them. Who's out there? See, Eddie Murphy.
Man, Joe, let me tell you something. You know what I mean? I'm so happy to be here.
You loved normal people, didn't you?
You know what? I started listening to your show with the whole normal people thing. You know what I mean? We listened to it a couple of years ago, and that old lady that was on, she said it was like a porno film or something like that. She was watching. I couldn't believe it. You know what I mean? I was like, what is this? You know?
What's a porno, man? Roy Keane. How are you, Roy?
I'm all right.
A new movie. Saipan.
It's a bit inaccurate, isn't it? The guy looks nothing like me. You know, but it looks, you know, fair play to him. He's doing a good job. At the end of the day, he's acting. That's his job, isn't it? You know, you got Steve Coogan playing Mick McCarthy. You know, so listen, it should be... Enjoy the movie. I won't be going to see it. But listen, fair play to them. Do me a favour.
President Trump, it's our last show, and I know you want to, but please, language. Please, language. Language.
Joe, listen, it's the final show. I can do whatever I like, to be quite honest with you. You know, you've had a great run. It's been fantastic. It's been wonderful. You know, you're not fake news, Joe. You're not fake news. I'll say that. He's a tremendous guy. We've had wonderful memories, really great memories. You've had some callers on that have said some very bad things about me, but I don't mind. I'll let it slide, Joe. Okay? Okay. Good job. Tremendous. Great guy.
Uteron, one of our greatest presidents ever, Michael Lee Higgins. It's just so good to hear you.
Well, of course. Well, it's wonderful to be here, Joe, in front of everyone here. And what you've done for this country and what you've contributed is absolutely a wonderful job. And I have to say kudos to you, Joe Duffy. You are a treasure to this country, and we are very proud of you. And I want a round of applause from everyone here in this audience here today.
Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, and Al Pacino. I didn't know you were fans of Liveline. I only heard that recently.
Let me tell you something, Joe. Me, Pesci, and Pacino, you know what we do? Every time your show finishes up, we have a call. We talk about what happened on the show. We're big fans. We tuned in a long time ago. I call up Joe Pesci. I say, what's Joe Duffy talking about today? Come on, let me tell you what he talking. From one Joe to another, who's on to complain about this or complain about that? What's Joe Duffy doing for the people? He's doing great things for the people, let me tell you that much. And I tell you, Joe, I've been doing this 10 years with you, and it's very difficult to swear, not to swear as Joe Pesci, let me tell you that. But I bring in Pacino. I gotta tell you, I listen to this guy all the time, and I gotta say, I get a real hoot from him. I love it. We love it over in the States. You got big fans, Joe. I just wanna say, can I get a hoo-ha for Joe from the audience? Hoo-ha! Hoo-ha!
Sir David Beckham. Sir David.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be knighted?
I mean, listen, it's amazing, Joe. It's been, greater than the treble, greater than the free kick against Greece, any Premier League title I've won. It's amazing. It's all I've ever wanted. I'm emotional, you know, and I'm just delighted to be on your show as well. And, you know, Victoria sends all the best as well. I've got a 9 p.m. curfew tonight. I've got to get home to her. But, yeah, amazing.
And beside you, of course, is your nemesis but mentor as well, Alex. Sir Alex Ferguson. Sir Alex.
Well, Joe, I had to say, listen to your show a long time. Fantastic what you did now. I know you probably covered bits of Saipan now, whether we're with Roy Keane or with Mick McCarthy, who cares, but fantastic. Great job now, Joe.
Jose is there beside you. Jose Marino.
I think, if you look at Joe Duffy,
I think when it comes to football, I'm the special one. When it comes to broadcasting, Joe is the special one. I think so. I think so, Joe.
Any advice for Damien? Damien Duff. Great Damien.
I think Damien walked away from the shelf job.
Yes.
I think he's been around me too much, but I haven't seen him in 20 years. For some reason, he just decided to, you know, become the Mourinho of the League of Ireland. I don't know what happened. I don't know.
Tyson Fury.
I'll tell you what, Joe, you're a fantastic individual. And what I do is I go on me run and walk and be. I put in me AirPods and I listen to Liveline. That's what I do. You think I'm listening to Rocky music? No, I'm listening to Mary from Clontarf calling up Joe.
Parik Harrington. Parik.
I mean, Joe, we had great conversations about the Live and PGA drama there a couple of years ago, you know, but it's great, and I have to say, you know, you've just done a great service to the country and what you're doing, so...
And he was one of the best guests ever on Liveline, was the wise Parik, the great Parik. Gordon Ramsay, Gordon.
Oh, God, Duffy. You know what the problem is? He's been so scared to do the Gordon Ramsay, in case I swear. I don't do that, okay? No way. It's daytime radio. We can't do that. Isn't that right, Joe?
Yeah,
okay? I can call you an idiot sandwich, though.
Eamon Dunphy.
Well, you know...
No, be honest. You are known for being frank and honest.
Well, no, I am. And I have to say, what this man has done for Irish radio should be commended. He's a great guy, he is, you know. We've probably, you know, sometimes I like to be honest, but I'll be honest today, what he's done is great, and fair play to him, and he's a great guy. You're not a good guy, Joe. You're a great guy.
Chris Eubank Senior, not Junior, Senior.
Well, I have to say. And Joe, I'm not going to stroke your ego. I want to take it away from you for just a second, because I want to talk about my son. My son won his fight against Nigel's son a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, and it was amazing. And a lot of people were saying, is Chris going to come out and accompany his son? Will he not? Element of surprise. I arrive on the Saturday night. And then, Joe, my son, when he won that fight, he became the Simba to my Mufasa.
Katie Taylor.
Yeah, Joe, just want to say... It's an absolute pleasure being a part of the final broadcast and, you know, just really looking forward to me fight in a couple of weeks and hope everyone has me back and all that. And thanks so much for all your support throughout the years and, just really looking forward to it and well done on an amazing career, Joe. So,
Elon Musk, this is not here, Elon Musk in the style of Morgan Freeman.
Oh, well, of course, we were in Shawshank. It was a really tough prison. There were tough conditions. We didn't know what to do. We didn't have Starlink to keep us going. So, yeah, okay.
Morgan Freeman.
Well, I got to tell you, Joe. Oh, I auditioned for the role of the intro a couple of years ago. Did you know that?
Yeah,
I did. 1850-715-815. Talk to Joe, especially Mary from Clontarf. That's right.
Tom Cruise. Mission Impossible 75.
Yeah. You know, this guy, you're incredible. You know, you're incredible. Great guy. You know, wonderful. What he's done is amazing, you know. I just, every movie, Joe, I just got to, you know, up at a level, you know. What am I going to do next? It's going to be crazy. You know?
Ronan O'Gara, will you call an ad break for us, please? Ronan.
Well, as you can tell, I don't know if people can say if I'm either ecstatic or upset about anything, but we're going to go to the ad break for Mr. Joe Duffy's final broadcast. Take care. Thanks a million.
Al Foran.
To Joe on 0818-715-815. Talk to Joe on 0818-715-815.
When I announced that I was retiring, one of the first people to contact us was Danny Healy-Ray. And Danny's after getting a great welcome, as you hear from the crowd. Danny, how are you?
Thank you, Joe, for your invitation, and I don't want to burst any bubbles, but I'm here today on behalf of the plain people of Ireland, the people who has their dinner in the middle of the day, and I'd love to be able to say something positive about you and you going out the door, but to be plain and straight with you, I have to be very, very honest and say there'll be no weeping and gnashing of teeth in Kerry tonight when you're getting your P45. For since you took hold of a microphone, you have the plain people of Ireland scourged and scalded day in and day out. You remember the time I was on your show trying to get the law changed to leave the small farmers in Kerry drive home after a couple of pints. And you shot me down when I told the truth about the climate change and it was all a hoax and that only the man above is in charge of the weather. You shot me down. Mr. Duffy, the best I can say to you now is pull out the door and you're going out. You have the whole country turned upside down, and you know what I'm going to say to you now? I've travelled all over this country and I'm never after meeting one person that listened to your show. So as far as I'm concerned, and the plain people of Ireland, you're talking to yourself or talking to the wall for the last 30 years.
Danny, you're unusually cranky today. What happened? Did somebody upset you?
I'm cranky today because we're in the middle of the tourist season down below in Kerry, and we're still waiting for the first sighting of a Yank in Kilgarvan. I was around Dublin this morning and I was tripping over Yanks, and you're keeping them all up here and their big fat wallets. And all we're getting down in Kilgarvan is our rock packers and hairy fellas on push bikes that wouldn't spend Christmas. I was working in the bar last Saturday night. Three of them came in looking for a pint and four straws. So, Joe, I'll tell you now, I wouldn't mind, and we were looking forward to a great season because we nearly have the bypass around Kilgarvan finished. But didn't some whore of a Green Party fella come up and tell us the other day that the Kerry spotted slug is hanging out around the Kerry bypass.
It's an endangered species.
An endangered species, me arse, Joe. They're tripping over them down my way. There's so many Kerry slugs down our way that we have them on the early bird menu in the pub.
And would you ever eat them yourself,
Kilgarvan,
Danny? Would you ever eat them yourself?
Well, Joe, no, I'd never eat them myself, Joe. But what I'm going to say is that the French tourists are mad out for them. Deep-fried Kilgarvan crusties. And Joe, what's wrong with them if they wouldn't be dancing around the plate or eating the side salad? What's wrong with them? Now, Joe, can I say one thing, Joe, before I go? I always gave you a small bit in the song.
You did. I love it.
To be very short and truncated. That's the word I got from one of your producers. Keep it truncated. Okay. And here you are, Joe. You can keep your old linguine, your couscous and crostini. Pile the spuds upon the plate, now pile them high. 'Tis a tall man would be able to see across the table with the height of the praties in their skins. How me heart it do be aching for a slab of hairy bacon washed down with a quart of buttermilk. You won't find me in a hurry to eat a chickpea curry, a falafel, a wrap, or Buddha bowl. And once when I felt gagger, I ate an enchilada and spent the next 2 hours upon the ball. So, Joe, my good friend, this is the last time we'll cross paths, and I want to say, Joe, that after all the years now, I can say that all is forgiven by the plain people of Ireland. And I leave you, Joe, with an old Kerry blessing. May the roof above you never fall in, and may those beneath it never fall out. Good luck, Joe.
Go to meet him, Margaret. Paddy O'Callaghan. Claudia Boyle.
Hiya, Joe. Here's a little song just reflecting how the nation feels about you today. From Showboat, Can't Help Loving That Man. And we can't. Oh, listen, sister, I love my Mr. Man, and I can tell you why. There ain't no reason why I should love that man. It must be something dirty angels done planned. The chimney smoking, the roof is leaking in, but he don't seem to care. He can be happy with just a sip of gin. loves him when his kisses got deep. Fish got a swim and birds got a fly. I gotta love one man till I die. And count up, love him.
Claudia Boyle. Brenda, where are you, Brenda? 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 Where are you, Brenda?
You all right, Joe?
Yeah, grand.
You enjoyed that, didn't you?
I just see the chairman up in the gods there, Trevor, and he's feverishly writing a letter to the minister, Patrick O'Donovan, for extra money to fix the glass that's just smashed all over. All over the campus.
Well, listen.
Brenda.
Yes, there are people listening to this programme wishing you so well from all over the world. And we have farewell to your show. They're listening in Princeton in New Jersey, USA. Most memorable moment was the ups and downs of the mountain goat. Does anyone remember that? Stuck in the cage.
The puck
fair. Nothing was ever too trivial or too petty to warrant the lifeline perspective of human interest. Thank you, Andy Walker. Enjoy your breakfast in Princeton. But there's another email you got in the show, Joe, and it came in May 2021. And it was about one woman's terrible menopausal journey. And she finished the email and she said, "The purpose of this email, Joe, is for you to please consider this topic on your show. Give the women of Ireland a voice to be heard, bust the taboos and really open up the subject." You certainly opened up the subject of menopause.
Well, Sally Ann,
would you all agree?
The letter was an incredible letter.
And Sally Ann is here, letter. Joe.
I know Sally Ann, and the producers, when they got the letter, Sally Ann, they ran into me at 20 to 3. So fair play to the producers. They said to me, "You have to read this." And it was a powerful piece, a powerful, powerful piece. Great to see you. Great to see you.
What do you remember about that, Sally Ann?
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that I was shocked that somebody listened to me. Joe listened to me and no one else had. So on behalf of the women of Ireland, I had said in the email, can you give these women a voice? And you did. And you've changed the landscape for women in the country. Thank you.
You have, Sally. And all the great campaigners.
And Joe, also I have Loretta Dignam, who's CEO of the Menopause Hub. She was the second caller on after Sally Ann. But Loretta, the landscape has changed, and it's changed quicker, you think, because of Liveline.
Absolutely. In 2018, no one was talking about menopause. On the 1st of June, free HRT was introduced for the women of Ireland. And from the bottom of our hearts, all the women of Ireland, my daughter's generation, my generation, future generations, thank you. And here's a gift.
Oh, what a privilege. What a privilege. Thank you so much.
So well done, Joe.
Okay, we're here in Studio One. Thank you so much. We'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
It's nearly 20 years since this man first burst onto Liveline when we used to do Funny Friday. We used to do it in studio originally with Brush and Sill and all the crew, Doc and Deck and Declan O'Brien and Declan Callis. His name is Bob Carley. Bob, you want to become a different person. We all do. But you want to become a different person today.
Today, Joe, I want to remember the poets of Ireland. And I remember when Drive Time had Joseph O'Connor, you applied for a poet laureate. Budgets were small. You got me, Joseph S. O'Connor. So today I've written for the final mass of Joe. I've written a responsorial psalm. The response is, ah. I have a confession. I love my depression and nobody knew it like Joe. He could sense my despair as he took to the air. He was thinking of me with each show. Not for him the good news. He's the king of the blues, of the morbid, the shock and the bleak. What a national treasure who beyond any measure could wreck your head week after week. Oh, how did he know? Sure, no one here knew it. Such a talent for finding a story. But it didn't get on unless all hope was gone or it had a true sense of the gory. Go on, tell us, he'd say, in a nonchalant way, as the caller would just spill their guts. But our Joe made it clear, if they dared adding cheer, they'd be cut, no ifs and no buts. Ah. And his range was wide, that can't be denied, no misery stone left unturned. So suppose there's a scam, our Joe was the man, to tell us just who had been burned. He'd tut and he'd coo, saying this will not do. Tell us, Mary, when did you first know? And she'd tell all the land that she'd spent 90 grand to go see the next Elvis show. But the scams were not all that he catched in his trawl and bring strength to my weak poet's pen. He drew radio blues from the HSUQs and the things women hate about men. He left many bereft on the hard right and left. Oh, on our hardships he had quite the range. But his halcyon days were the menopause maze when he claimed he was going through the change. And lest we forget, don't think we have yet, when the virus came after us all. I was whimpering and cowering 4 times a day showering, but Joseph was having a ball. Not for him work from home, but on his microphone, like a sentry, he took up his stand. His stoic demeanor called us all to be cleaner. 5-1, 5-5-1, wash your hands. So now where will I go without my good Joe? Who will drag my mood down to the gutter? Where will I hear a world barren of cheer, where professors converse with the nutters, where bishops and bankers and all types of people have no one to talk to? So it's the end for this poet and life as we know it. Who else could depress us like Joe?
Very good. Very, very good. The great Bob Carley. Very wise man as well. Another wise man, Declan O'Rourke. Declan, introduce the song, please.
Joe, you deserve so much credit for remembering and commemorating the children of the rising. And I want to personally thank you for calling me and asking me to write a song about them. You said you had a church service lined up and would I come and write a song and sing it at that? And I said, when is the church service? You said, in 10 days. And those 10 days were a blur for me. But this is what came out at the end. And I know you'll join me in dedicating it today to the children of Palestine.
In Dublin town one Easter morn, 100 years ago, the rebels led a rising from the city's GPO. Brave heroes and their enemies fell, civilians in between, and among the dead and fallen were the children of 16. Those children of the tenement slums who daily with their pals a brazen wild brigade sprang up between the two canals. With their handcarts over cobbled stone, they rattled, skid and tore. Barefooted as they scavenged through the crossfire and the gore. Yelling me, and snipers' bullets pierced and whipped the sulfured April haze. There was fighting from the Union to the mill above the green, and it made a great excitement for the children of 16. 6 days had bid the rebels pay a grave bloody toll, but through their blood and martyrdom, Republic soon was born. High aloft its streets and buildings now, their names can ne'er be seen, but still missing from the pages are children of 16. Not Pierce, not Clark, MacDonough, nor the Connolly we know would rest where they remembered on pedestal alone. And are they not the fathers of our nation, proud and free, and our sisters and our brothers then, the children of 16.
Genius, second in a row, genius. Brenda.
You've been on air so long.
Yes.
And you've given of yourself.
yes.
And your life and what you're doing, where you're going, whatever. But we don't know everything about you. So I have a little quick true or false quiz. Are we up for it? Yeah. Okay, all right. First of all, Joe.
Yes.
You were a prisoner in Mountjoy. Is that true or false? What do you think? Is it?
True.
True. Yeah. Okay. Joe's grandmother was born in India. True or false?
True.
Is that true, Joe?
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
Really
yeah.
true?
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly true?
Ahmed Nagar in the same year, in the same place as Spike Milligan, believe it or not, in the army barracks in India.
And Joe, is it true
Yes.
that you brought Sexy back?
Hi, Joe. It's Jim Jim here.
As
thank you
Justin
so much
Timberlake.
For many years ago when I came up with a song about you called Who's a Sexy Joe to the tune of
Joe.
Justin
Where's
Timberlake's Sexy Back.
Sexy Joe,
and
it's
you
true.
Were such a good sport about it. You even came into the studio and said these
Hit
immortal
it.
Words.
Who's a Sexy Joe?
Which will remain a career highlight.
You did bring Sexy
Joe,
back,
best luck
Joe.
With everything in the future. Who's a Sexy Joe?
A sexy
good afternoon to you.
John, we think it's a disgrace.
Yeah, I can't find me your mouth and drown. I think it's here in the back of the couch. Ah, just finally, Joe was a dynamic centre forward for Ballyfermot United.
Come here, Jim. Not at all.
False. That's definitely false. Anyway, there you go, Joe. You did bring
well
Sexy
done, Brenda.
Back.
Well done. Well done, Brenda. It's now, 5 minutes of... 5 minutes to 3 o'clock. Have we one more ad break? Or are we going straight into Wichita? No, that's we're going to finish with Wichita Lyman. Where's the camera bear? Come on, the camera bear.
Right behind you. Right behind you. Somewhere behind
Paul.
You. All I need is a microphone now, and we're laughing.
Yeah, okay, you're away, that's Paul. Okay. You're away, Paul.
We're back on. So as the live line man goes into the sunset, let's give you a Jimmy Webb classic.
I am a lineman for the county, and I'll drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I can hear you in the wire, I hear you whispering the wine and the Wichita lineman. Will he still on?
And remember, the live line, the live line stays open and will be open. Shay, this, by the way, this is for those of you who are listening in black and white. This is Shay Bourne. And I normally see Shay now either at a wedding or a funeral. But I don't know what you're presiding over today, Mr. Burton. But proceed. You've barged your way in here.
Thank you, Joe. Yes. It's a pleasure to work with you for the last 18 years of my career in RTE. Yeah. This was delivered by the military, the Defence Forces, about an hour ago to RTE.
Okay.
And it's from the President of Ireland. It's addressed to Mr. Joe Duffy, Clontarf, Dublin 3. Dear Joe, as you prepare to take your leave from the National Airwaves, after so many years of dedicated service, may I, Maruk Thron the Heron, extend to you the warmest of thanks on behalf of the Irish people for your remarkable contribution to public life, one that you have shaped with empathy, insight, and an unwavering commitment to the voices of ordinary people. Thraisliam Lat. From your early days as a student of social work at Trinity College through to your time as president of Trinity College Students' Union in 1979 and later as president of the Union of Students in Ireland, you have demonstrated a lifelong commitment to justice, equality, and public service. Through your work, you have borne witness to the struggles and triumphs of the Irish people, often giving voice to those on the margins, and creating a space in which silence could be broken and solidarity expressed, reminding us that behind every headline is a human story, reminding us too that our society is strengthened by the lived experiences of its people. Since you first presented Liveline in 1998, the program has served not merely as a radio program, but as a civic space, a forum for the voicing of concerns, active public engagement, democratic dialogue, and the expression of that rich and complex tapestry which constitutes Irish society. Your stewardship of that space, with your distinctive blend of compassion, curiosity, and courage, has been both passionate and principled, marked by a rare empathy, making an enduring contribution to our public discourse. Your commitment to the dignity of each individual life has been evident, not only on the airwaves, but also in your work as an author and historian. Children of the Rising, the untold story of the young lives lost during Easter 1916, stands as a powerful testament to your compassion and to your refusal to let forgotten voices remain unheard. In bringing the stories of the 40 children killed during and as a result of the Rising into public consciousness, humanizing the most vulnerable casualties of that week in April 1916, you have offered all of us a more humane and complete understanding of our shared history. Guím féin agus saivín gach rá ag banach dort dun tau chuí. Tá éach déinte agat ach gaharaha ar son cosmhuintir our dear. Sabina joins me in wishing you every happiness and fulfillment in the years ahead. May this new chapter bring you the same richness of engagement and meaning that you have given to so many throughout your long and remarkable career. Lebuichas Ochri, yours sincerely, Michael D. Higgins, Uachtarán na hÉireann. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Joe Duffy.
Good to meet you, Margaret. I'm over time. Good a meal of Margaret at Ukran. Slán go fóill, that's all from me on Liveline. Goodbye from Studio One. And remember, 51551, wash your hands. Love you all. It's been a privilege. It's been a privilege. Slán go fóill.